Hey guys, this is Kenan Thompson. I have a problem with you. Yes, you. None of y'all told me that Auto Trader has millions of new and used cars that I can shop from home. I thought we were friends. I put smiles on your face, but I'm not smiling. No one told me that with Auto Trader, a dealer can deliver cars to my home or that I could shop by price on Auto Trader. No one. Consider this friendship that you just learned we had officially over. Finally, it's easy. Auto Trader.
Getting to know yourself can be a lifelong process, especially since you're always growing and changing. Therapy is all about deepening that self-awareness, because sometimes you don't know what you really want until you talk things through. BetterHelp connects you with a licensed therapist online who can take you on that journey of self-discovery from wherever you are. Visit BetterHelp.com/positive today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp.com/positive.
That iconic music, it March Madness. It is synonymous with March Madness, and we are down to the 16 in the men's tournament, and the women working on getting there. We've seen upsets. We've got Cinderellas, the emotion, the thrill of victory, but the agony of defeat, because these teams, they recognize starting out, they're all on equal footing, and this is it. If this is not the best postseason in sports, well, then I need to hear what is. What would you hold up against March Madness? Because the format, to me, is perfection. Love this time of the year. And so we get to take a breath now and wait until the men's Sweet 16 will tip off on Thursday and Friday. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We've got some really cool stories. Obviously, having Fairleigh Dickinson as a 16 become just the second ever to take out a one seed. Even though Fairleigh Dickinson is done, Florida Atlantic is on into the Sweet 16. We've only got two top seeds left in Houston and Bama. And then the rest of the seeds are spread out all the way down to a 15.
Clock running down to three, down to two, down to one. This one is over. It's official. It is history for the Princeton Tigers. For the first time in school history, Princeton is going to the Sweet 16. Just the fourth 15 seed ever in the history of the tournament to advance to the round of 16.
We are so thrilled to be going to the Sweet 16. It is an absolute pleasure being around these guys. They just grit their teeth and they do it.
Mitch Henderson, the head coach of Princeton, was on the team that took out UCLA in the mid-1990s, and now he's coaching his Princeton Tigers, not just with one victory in the opening round, but on to the Sweet 16. We're so excited to be able to tell their story, and I had a chance to catch up with Tigers junior Zach Martini on Monday evening. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. It's cool to hear the story of Princeton men's basketball through his eyes, through his perspective. It's not a fluke. This wasn't just magic, and this team is fearless, is resilient. Those are the words that I keep hearing about Princeton. So even as they gather themselves and get ready for a battle against Creighton, that will take place in Louisville in the South region, Zach's so willing to talk about the emotions and the experience of the last week. I started out by asking him, Zach, as a kid growing up, you think about March Madness and playing on the game's biggest stage. Did you envision this? Is it as good as what you thought when you were younger?
In my driveway, right, like counting down the shot clock, 3, 2, 1, hitting the shot like that, being in March Madness. And then just to go out and live that dream, it's been special, and I couldn't think of a better group of guys to do it with. And I'm glad we're playing. We're still playing, had this opportunity.
Yeah, and what have the last, let's call it the last 48 hours or so been like for you, for your teammates, and for your coach, who I'm seeing everywhere right now?
Right, yeah. We're getting a lot of press, like you mentioned. It's special, and our coach said to enjoy this moment. This is a rare thing we're doing. The first time Princeton's been in the Sweet 16 since the tournament was expanded. our phones are blowing up like crazy. It's kind of funny. We were, after we beat Arizona, we went out to a super nice dinner as a team, and our coach comes over to our table. He's like, can you guys just be present for once? I mean, we're just, there's so many notifications, so many people congratulating us. I mean, the saying glued to your phone was really true at that moment.
Not only do you guys have the opportunity to play on your women's team, also won a game. So it's the first time in history that both the Tigers men's and women's basketball teams have won in the same year. So what's it like on campus these days?
It was fun. Today, the first class I had, we had class today, 1:30, walked into class, and my fellow classmates gave me a standing ovation. Yeah, it's something I never would have thought of. So the school spirit's been great. The professors have been great. They're reaching out to us over email. The girls' team will arrive. They're flying back from Utah tonight, so I'm sure they'll receive the same welcoming tomorrow.
All right, let's talk about this a little bit then, because as you mentioned, you're in your spring semester. You had class today. So when did you get back to campus?
We took the red eye from Sacramento at about 9:30 Pacific time on Saturday. So we got back to campus. We got back to campus yesterday about 8 a.m. Yeah, it's been a pretty eventful weekend, pretty exhausting.
In addition to just absorbing everything and the notifications, the phones blowing up, have you had a chance to rest at all, Zach?
No, not really. Things are happening at such a high speed, high pace. Thankfully, when we got back from Sacramento, I got back to my room and I fell asleep from 8 a.m. to noon. So, no, I mean, after Arizona, it was such a crazy feeling. I woke up at 6 a.m. the next day and I was like, wow, that really just happened. I couldn't go back to sleep. It was just so exciting.
Oh, that's awesome. Zach Martini is with us from Princeton, where they are back on campus, but soon will be on their way to the Sweet 16 to take on Creighton, and that comes up Friday in Louisville. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. It's really neat that your coach was involved in Princeton's previous 15 over a 2 upset, but how much did that ever come up, or how much, you know, has your coach ever mentioned it?
Yeah, there's a... I'll say notorious. There's a notorious photo of Coach jumping for joy after they beat UCLA. That's it's all over campus. It's right outside our lift, our weight room. So he's really happy that there should be a new photo replacing his photo. happy for the school and happy for us. He hates that photo, he says. I'm sure he loves it, but it's nice to have a new photo coming in.
Yeah, for sure. I actually remember that moment when I was younger, and it was stunning at the time. The Hall of Famer, Pete Carril, and just that, that backdoor cut and layup.
Awesome. Yeah.
It seems very evident. You guys have such a calm, a poise. The stage does not seem too big for you. Where does that come from, Zach?
I think we just, from top to bottom, staff included, we really believe that we belong there. Coach reiterates that he's preparing us to win the game. And let's see, from Monday, right after we won the Ivy League championship, up until Thursday, we were preparing to win the game. And we felt confident in our game plan and our personnel, who we are. And this is a resilient group. We lost a really tough game to Yale a few weeks ago in the regular season. We blew a big lead. And I think we needed to go through some adversity. But prior to that part of the season, not smooth sailing, but we just really didn't hit a low point. I think that low point really made us who we are right now.
I want to go back, if you don't mind, to a couple of years ago. Would have been your freshman year, right, that Ivy League basketball were canceled.
Yeah.
And I remember because I was working with Columbia, and it was stunning to think about how the Ivy League was the only conference in the country that didn't play at all.
Oh, yeah.
Going back to those days, working for so long and trying to focus on basketball, and yet it was months and months and months that you weren't able to play games.
Mm-hmm. I think we're just finally reaping the fruits of our labor. The juniors and seniors have been here since that pandemic year. And I mean, I remember just watching the tournament the last 2 years, knowing that we had a real shot and we had a real chance to be there. And to really see that into fruition has been amazing. Like I said, this is a resilient group, and it's almost like we knew that once we got this opportunity, we wouldn't let it go to waste.
looking back now, all of those months when you knew the payoff wasn't coming anytime soon, was it all worth it?
Oh, totally. Absolutely. I mean, our freshman year here was really, really strange. Practicing with masks on, or practicing, but like there was no end goal, right? We weren't playing games. We were just kind of just getting to know each other for the first time. At least I was a freshman. That was my perspective of it. But yeah, if you told me I had to sacrifice 1 year to go to the Sweet 16, I would take it.
Perfect way to put it. Junior Zach Martini of Princeton is with us here after hours on CBS Sports Radio. What do you want people to know about who you guys are and how you approach this game?
I can't say it enough. This is a gritty group. We're going to give everyone our best shot, and we believe in each other, even in the toughest of moments, down 12 to Arizona late in the second half. There's a belief when coach says we're winning this game that we believe him. We're going to win this game, and we're going to go out and do it. And the joy we have, the joy we play, kind of exudes off us. We play for one another, and playing for one another ends up getting us shots selfishly. So this is a fun team to watch. It's a really fun team to be a part of. I'm glad we're able to show the national stage who we are.
The two different games that you've played now to get to the Sweet 16, they're very different, right? So the game that you just played in the round of 32, I'm not saying it was easy, but it wasn't a nail-biter right to the very end.
Right.
That game against Arizona, the way you all closed it out with, was it a 9-0 run at the end?
Yeah, I believe they didn't score the last 4 minutes of the game.
Right, as that is happening, and it was like the rebounds you were getting to, what's happening on your bench and on the court there as that is playing out and you're able to rally and then put together that great finish?
Yeah, Coach mentioned, you know, if this is a team that wants to knock you out with like a 12-0 run. So each time they went on a little run, he was going to call a timeout. And we used all our timeouts pretty early in the game. I think the last 5 minutes of the game, we didn't have any timeouts left. So we knew we had to keep it close, and we knew Coach was going to keep it close. And then once we finally got the lead, Ryan Langborg, he made a tough layup to finally get the lead. We were like, all right, we're not losing this thing. And then we didn't, right? We weren't leading for much of the game, but the end of the game was when just we were laser focused on defense. Yeah, I mean, I want to say I can't believe it, but we really believed that once we got the lead, we were capable of finishing the game, and it was special to be a part of being on the court. Once we realized we had the game won, that was a feeling like no other. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
This is what March Madness is all about, but the fact that you lived it and now you all are a Cinderella. Why did you pick Princeton, though? What was the reason that you decided that's where you wanted to play?
Yeah, great question. I'm from New Jersey. I live about 45 minutes north of campus, and when I was being recruited by Princeton, I got the opportunity to come down here and play pickup a lot with the guys, and I realized that the people on the team are equally as important to me as the school was. Academics aside, I mean, can't go wrong with Princeton, any of the Ivy League schools, but just the teammates, the people were good people. I felt I could be myself around them. I felt wanted by the coaching staff. I love New Jersey. I've lived here my whole life. I got pride for the state. So been a perfect fit, I think.
How cool is it then that because you're close to home, your family and friends get to see you play as well?
Yeah, it's great. Whenever I need a home cooked meal, my mom can always bring something to the game. So it's pretty convenient. Yeah.
As close as you are to your teammates, then how cool is it to see the performance that Ryan had, or even Blake Peters, the threes that he's nailing in the second half?
Right.
You really care about your teammates. You love them to death to see them step up and perform on the stage.
Blake Peters, I mean, the kid makes tough shots, and he's done it all year. I mean, if you look at the amount of points he scores per minute he plays, it's crazy. He's so efficient, and he's not afraid of the big moment. I mean, I think he scored all his points in the final 10 minutes of the game or something like that. And then Ryan got us where we were in that game. I think he scored 11 of our first 13 points. He was unconscious coming out the game. He was upset. He had a tough shooting game against Arizona, but I mean, he bounced back in a huge way. I mean, him and Blake's contributions were unbelievable.
Mm. Your coach has used the word fearless a bunch. Why does that describe your team?
Against Arizona, we knew we had a huge size difference. The kids that the players I was guarding, Tabellis and Balo, probably both had 6 inches on me.
Wow.
Yeah, but heart is immeasurable. Will to win is immeasurable. Being the underdog on that big stage, it's you have to play fearless and you have to play free if you really want to get it done. Because, I mean, these are you got to respect your opponent. These guys are big-time Pac-12 players. But our will to win was contagious. And, I mean, me personally, I pride myself on playing hard, playing tough-nosed basketball. And I think it showed for all of us this last weekend. And I think it's going to continue for Creighton.
Hey, if the Jets can land Aaron Rodgers in a trade, I feel anything can happen.
Let's go.
There you go.
Yep. I'm a diehard Jets fan. I am so pumped up about Aaron Rodgers. You have no idea. I'm so glad you said that.
I mean, they've already got his favorite receiver, so now it's just a matter of getting that deal done.
The Packers have no leverage. I don't know what they're doing. Joe Douglas is one of the best GMs out there, and that's no bias. He knows what he's doing. I got trust in Joe. I know he's not going to sign Randall Cobb and Mercedes Lewis unless that's really part of Rodgers' demands. Dang it, I'm pumped up. Yeah.
Yeah, I can hear that. Not just that, but I love the way that Sauce Gardner, Breece Hall, and also Garrett Wilson were willing to go out and burn a cheesehead.
They're recruiting them. I mean, that was a big moment for Sauce. And to burn the cheesehead is a nice little peace treaty. I think Aaron, I love the Jets. I'm wearing a Jets t-shirt right now, actually.
Oh, boom! There you go. That's awesome. Well, whenever the dust settles on your basketball season and however far you go, we would love to have you back on the show to talk Jets football, Zach. That would be fun.
That's a dream. Yeah, I would love that. Yeah.
I don't know what you're studying, but it sounds like you could hold your own with some Jets talk. So we can do that.
I can. I pride myself on Jets, and whatever is second in my list is far from the Jets.
Awesome. Yeah. Well, and as I just look at your Twitter, struggling New York Jets fan. That's how you identify yourself.
That's
I like
me.
It.
Yeah, that's me.
All right. You can find Zach Martini on Twitter at ZachMartini5587. Lots of cool photos on the Princeton men's basketball Twitter as well. We are rooting for you. I think the nation is on board, Zach. Thank you so much for a couple
minutes.
Oh, that means
a lot.
Yeah,
yeah,
congratulations.
Thank you, Amy. Appreciate it.
So what happens when you do your homework and you research a little bit, you find out some of these fun nuggets and other elements outside of the basketball in Zach's case, outside of Princeton, but to be able to dig a little deeper and figure out that he was a Jets fan, did you hear him light up? Even over the phone, I could hear him light up, like the emoji with the stars in his eyes about Aaron Rodgers and Alan Lazard and the Jets and Sauce Gardner burning a cheese head to make cheese sauce. So yes, now that we have said that, we'll have to invite Zach to return to the show when the deal is done and he's finished with basketball. But for now, it's Princeton or bust. And I meant what I said, the nation behind these Tigers as they battle the Creighton Blue Jays coming up in the Sweet 16 on Friday in Louisville. I have to say this, and I told producer Jay earlier on Monday, I am so proud of the 4 player interviews we did, and maybe we'll have others, but to this point, we are 4 for 4 with our player interviews. Jay worked really hard to reach out to the various schools and the sports information directors to ask them for players, for good talkers. Not all of the teams had the success that they were looking for, but I feel like we got some pretty incredible personalities and great talkers on the show. So going back to the freshman sensation, Keontae George, Baylor, who was coming off the ankle injury, and I know Baylor fell short of the Sweet 16, but man, he's going to be a lottery pick in the NBA draft if he chooses to leave school. Then think about Jalen Slauson, the player of the year in the Southern Conference for Furman, who did end up winning not only their Southern Conference championship 12 months after losing on a buzzer beater, but then to actually capture a victory over Virginia in the opening round. So cool to watch him celebrate and the Paladins realize their dreams after we had spoken to Jalen. Of course, now Zach Martini of Princeton, the Cinderella still remaining, and We spoke to Malachi Smith of Gonzaga. So every year we have a Gonzaga player. They're also still in the Sweet 16. So how about that? I mean, really neat, the various characters and the different schools and regions of the country represented with our interviews. We also talked to the Drake head coach. We talked to Miami head coach Jim Larrañaga. Just awesome stuff to have this mix and these stories because, yes, we fill out brackets. We watch them go from 68 down to 16 in the span of a few days and then ultimately to the Final Four this year in Houston. But the blood, the sweat, the tears, the hard work, the months of toiling away, in some cases the heartbreak before the dreams realized. Every single one of these schools has a story and every single one of the players on the team has a story, and to share a few of them this time of the year, it's one of my favorite, I don't want to say jobs, but it's one of my favorite pieces of March Madness, is to kind of pull back the curtain and tell some of the stories that you wouldn't hear otherwise, that you don't hear throughout the regular season. You can find us on Twitter, After Hours CBS. That's where we post the link to our podcast every weekday morning. Also on our Facebook page, we still get questions nearly every day. Hey, can I listen to your show on demand or online? Well, yes. Yes, you can. Let's see. What do we want to do coming up? How about a little bit from the women's tournament where we had a fairly stunning upset of Miami over a top seed, Indiana? Well, it was, you want to talk about agony of defeat for the Hoosiers, but the thrill of victory for the Canes, as now the women.
Last year, you may have made some smart decisions, and you may have made some not so smart decisions, like maybe you had a little too much confidence in that one crypto exchange. The good news is making smart financial decisions is easier than you think. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the weekly know-how you need to get ahead. Sean and Sarah, the hosts of Smart Money, break down the latest financial news and give you honest, objective money advice. Subscribe to NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast.
What's up, everybody? Nick Costos here. College basketball is about to get crazy, and BetQL makes it easier than ever to cash your bets. BetQL analyzes every single tournament matchup so you can succeed with your bracket pools and individual game bets. Which teams will pull off an upset? Who's going to cover the spread? BetQL handles all the hard work so you can win more consistently. Head to BetQL.com today to start your 3-day free trial. That's BetQL.com. BetQL.com today to start your 3-day free trial.
And join the men in the Sweet 16. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
I want to thank the university and Indiana for hosting this. They did a fantastic job. They're an awesome team. The crowd was phenomenal, phenomenal. What a great basketball environment. They absolutely affected the game. Terry's built an incredible program on the backs of, I'm sure, administrators and assistant coaches and everything else. So, and they had a phenomenal season. It was a great game. It was a good matchup for us.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
The Miami Hurricanes have both their men's and women's basketball teams into the Sweet 16. And interestingly enough, both Canes squads had to get through Indiana. Now, in the men's tournament, it was a matchup that featured the fourth seeded Hoosiers against the five seed Miami. That one took place in Albany, and we watched it play out over the last few days. For the women, Indiana was a top seed, so a number one seed against a Miami squad that was facing, I don't want to say an uphill battle, but certainly facing what would be tougher challenges, considering the competition committee, or excuse me, the selection committee, putting that Indiana on the top line. Very often, those number one seeds in women's basketball have quite a gap, I should say, down to some of the other teams. I mean, there's we're seeing the gap narrow and really disappear in men's basketball in many cases. But in women's basketball, there's still a fairly sizable disparity between the haves and the have-nots. And so the Indiana Hoosiers were the top seed in the Greenville Regional, and they never led in this game against Miami, the number 9 seed. It was actually taking place at Indiana. Okay, so here, this is another difference with the women's tournament. As much as the NCAA is now branding it as March Madness and using some of the same formats and patterns and equipment and resources as it should be for the women's tournament, one major difference is that you've got higher seeds who are hosting games. So it's supposed to be not just a disparity in terms of the talent and the season that those top seeds had, but also they get to be at home in front of their own fans when it comes to some of these early round games. So again, this is taking place at Assembly Hall. Indiana's hosting number 9 seed Miami and never leads. The Hoosiers rallied to tie the Canes 4 times in the fourth quarter. They play quarters again in women's college basketball, but could never grab the lead. As stunning as it gets. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. Just the excitement, the joy, as you can imagine, if you haven't seen it, it's out there on both social as well as on TV, whether you're watching ESPN highlights. That's the network that carries the games. The Miami Hurricanes coaching staff and players, they go absolutely crazy. There's tears. It's one of those moments that's unforgettable to experience, but also pretty amazing to watch.
I always tell my team, you know, act like you've been there before, but we haven't. So we kind of acted foolish, and we were really happy, and we enjoyed it. Tried to be respectful and everything else. But that was a really big moment for us, and it was fun. And it was time to just let the pure joy spill out and enjoy it and take the momentum into the Sweet 16.
It feels amazing. It doesn't feel real still. When we were done with the game, I was like, oh, my God, I can't believe it. Like, we're here. We're really here. So, I don't know, props to my team. The coaches did a really, really good job on the game preparation. We were locked in. We were communicating very, very well today. I felt it. I felt I usually lose my mind, and I have my teammates having my back. They're like, okay, relax. We're up. And I'm like, okay, let's go. We got this. So, yeah, it feels amazing. It's great. It's great to be here.
It feels good just to keep dancing, keep advancing, survive and advance right now. I mean, feel really good. The game we played tonight was something that we was talking about last night, you know. So, like, to get the win, I mean, it's big time over a very, very efficient team. And I just got to give my credit to Indiana because they came out and played well, too.
All right, so you hear from Katie Meyer, the head coach, and then Lola Pendande, who actually had the 19 points, and she says, I get really over my skis and really excited. My teammates have to tell me to calm down. And then Destiny Harden about staying alive, because that's the whole point here, survive and advance. A one seed hadn't fallen before the Sweet 16 since the Duke Blue Devils lost to Michigan State going back to 2009. That's what I'm telling you. Very often in the women's tournament, because of the disparity between the best teams in the land, it's rare that a one seed loses before the late stages of March Madness. The top 16 seeds, they all host again, so they've got that home court advantage. And while you do get some upsets, I'm not saying there aren't ever, last season there were a pair of 2 seeds that lost in the second round, but a one seed had not lost prior to the Sweet 16 going back to 2009. So that's nearly automatic when a one seed gets to host and gets to have its own fans. And really, while the playing field in women's college basketball is becoming a little more level, there's still a standard that's set by some of the best programs in the land, like UConn. Now, UConn is playing this entire season without Paige Beckers, their All-American, who is the Player of the Year. She tore her ACL going back to, I think it was even pickup ball, maybe last spring. And so it's been a long year without her. They've stubbed their toe a bunch. They still have a Hall of Fame coach in Chino Auriemma, and now their 30th Sweet 16. Wow, 30 of them.
We usually come into this tournament, you know, we got everybody healthy for the most part. were rolling, and we just stormed through the tournament, you know. And this year, none of that was true. You know, everything was a struggle. Everything was hard. For us to be in the position that we're in, to go to the same place where so many other UConn teams have gone, yet having gone through so much more, I think, than any other UConn team has had to go through, I was really proud of them, because I've been through a lot of these, but they haven't. So to see them feel that, what it feels like, I mean, this is why we do what we do, right?
UConn a 2 seed this year, not a 1 seed. And I know a 31-5 record is amazing by most standards. But for the Huskies to lose 5 games and some of the games they lost, it hasn't been this way for UConn for years. But the adversity they've fought through, they take out the 7 seed Baylor Bears, and they do it really by dominating in the paint. So the Bears were outscored by the Huskies in the lane 36-12. That's a big disparity there. And then also out rebounding the Bears. So they're able to do it with an inside out perspective. Virginio Auriemma, as he points out, he's been to all these Sweet 16s. He's been to Final Fours. He's won championships. He's done it with various different rosters in different eras of UConn women's basketball. And yet he still has the same emotion. He's not lost the passion for the game. And on this night, kind of understands really that desperation that his team needed to have.
I'm out there, I'm coaching like I'm trying to get to our first regional ever. And in some ways, I am, you know, because Lou's never been to one. And those are the kind of things that make this job rewarding.
So congratulations to UConn, who takes a tough season by their standards, of course, and now puts all of that growth and all of that, he mentions desperation. I would say the determination to move forward, even after losing Paige, even knowing that they were going to go the entire season without having her, some of the other injuries in there as well, and forcing some of the younger players to step into roles and to grow up maybe more quickly than what they would normally be asked to do. Now, the thing about UConn, it's like any of the top women's programs. If you get recruited by UConn or Stanford or, again, Tennessee is another one in there, you know that these are the best players in the country. So they still have their pick of the litter when it comes to the top high school players. But there's a little more, and this is a credit to UConn, a little more of that recognition that for the Huskies, after all their years of success, they forced the rest of women's college basketball to raise their standards and to raise their level of play, because otherwise they were never going to be able to compete with UConn. So it's a credit to the Huskies and Gino Auriemma that women's college basketball is more wide open. Think about South Carolina and what Dawn Staley has done there with that program. Yeah, if you wanted to be able to compete and win titles, you had to go through UConn for years and years. And now you see that it's spreading out a little bit, but still, the best of the best, they're head and shoulders above most of the women's game. So to have an upset like what we had of Miami over Indiana is noteworthy and critical. Maybe melting of the iceberg a little bit too. So good basketball so far. So we head toward next weekend where the 16s are trimmed down to just the Final Fours. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Hey, did you know Baker Mayfield was introduced as the new quarterback? As one of the quarterbacks, I guess he has to compete for the starting job. What a difference a year makes with Baker Mayfield. How humbling it has been for him. And yet I think I like this new version of Baker. So we have that ahead. And oh my gosh, Cam Newton. Marco Belletti, do you think Cam Newton is better than any of the current starting quarterbacks that we have in the NFL?
No.
None of them.
Come on, man.
No. Oh. You'd be lucky to be better than some of the backups.
All right. Well, he is going to work out, believe it or not. He's going to work out for, I guess, pro scouts, kind of piggybacking on a pro day with Auburn, right, mm-hmm. which is where he won a national championship. I feel like it's fascinating, if nothing else.
I give him credit for trying. I just, and it's not, it's not to say that he wasn't a good quarterback in his time. His shoulder shot. He can't throw.
Right.
That's the problem. Like, you can't be a quarterback and not be able to throw the football, and his body has taken a pounding because he delivered so many blows while he ran the football in his heyday as well. I'm sorry. His body is beat up. You can't throw the football. You can't be a starting quarterback or a backup in the NFL. It just doesn't work.
So no quarterbacks out there who can't throw? There are a few that I question sometimes.
I don't know. Physically able to throw the football.
Yes, I mean,
were times where we watched him with the Patriots, and it was, you know, he threw the ball into the ground 10 yards away from the line of scrimmage, and you were like, it was hard to watch because you knew the guy had talent. Yeah. It's just his body gave up on him. It's a shame. I would love to say that a year off made everything okay. I don't believe that. And I'm sorry, you throwing the football sitting in your shorts, that's not going to do it for me.
The return to Carolina, I think, really underscored it for me, because he and Bill Belichick really hit it off. Belichick felt like he could have started for another season. He was supposed to be the starter until Mac Jones fell to them at number 15 in that draft last year, 21 draft, right?
Mm-hmm.
Wait, where are we in now? 23, right? So, no, the 22 draft.
He's going into his third year.
Yes, okay.
He played 2 years.
Oh, my goodness. So, when Mac Jones was available and Mac won the job in training camp, it made Cam Newton expendable. But for a while there, they were going into a second consecutive year with Cam as their starter. And so I felt like, okay, there's still some usefulness. Bill Belichick is going to get what he can out of Cam. He said such positive things about Cam Newton, especially his leadership and his desire to compete. I at that point when he got cut, I felt like, okay, well, if he can't beat out Mac Jones for the job, then I'm not sure there's anything left for him in the league.
Yeah, and then he went to Carolina with, 17 other quarterbacks?
Right, and it was just bad.
Again, and they started him 3 days later. I don't blame him for some of the situations. I understand that. Like I said, he's just older and beat up. Mm. He's not old. He's still young enough, but his body is older than his age.
Right.
And his
shoulder
is shot. That's mm-hmm. what I'm saying. Like, look, if you could come out on the Auburn Pro Day and you could show me that you could take a 5-step drop and actually throw the ball 60, 70 yards down the field. Now I'll watch for a little bit. Now I need to see if you can throw a 20-yard out from one hash to the other sideline. If you can't do that, you cannot be a quarterback in the NFL. And not only can you do it once, you have to consistently be able to do that throw in and throw out during practice mm-hmm. and the games. I don't believe his body will allow him to play in the NFL anymore. It's hard to swallow, I'm sure, for him in a caliber of athlete that he was. Sometimes things come to an end.
Former NFL MVP. So we'll do QB news at the top of the hour. Straight ahead, the Eagles are going to look decidedly different in 2023, even after making it all the way to the Super Bowl and pushing the Kansas City Chiefs. So we'll talk about the mass defections during free agency.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
So it brings up first and goal from the 4. Miles Sanders in the game at tailback. Now Hurts on the keep. Has the seam, and Jalen Hurts is in for the touchdown.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Seems like forever ago, but actually it was just over 5 weeks ago that the Chiefs toppled the Eagles in Super Bowl 57. That was taking place in Arizona. The call with Kevin Burkhart on Fox. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. This always happens with teams that achieve success in the NFL. It's, I would say, both the beautiful element of the NFL in that free agency allows such incredible competitiveness from year to year, right? There's no other league in which half the playoff field turns over every season. And that is what happens. Even as the league has expanded to 14 teams in the playoffs in that supersized wildcard weekend, last year, 7 brand new teams. We get fresh blood every year. We get teams that go from worst to first every year. Now, the Philadelphia Eagles were a repeat in the NFL postseason. Remember, they had made it as a wild card the year before in Nick Sirianni's first season as head coach. Jalen Hurts with the meteoric rise, the pieces they put around him on the offensive side of the ball, including A.J. Brown, they win not only the NFC Beast, but they win the conference overall. They end up in the Super Bowl against a tough Chiefs team. High hopes for the Eagles. But what always happens is that guys stand to get paid. Now, there are guys who leave and take less money somewhere else. That may be personal. It may be about a new challenge, a fresh start. Maybe it's disgruntled in terms of playing time. But a lot of these guys are leaving because they're able to get paid. See the Brinks, Binks truck, the money truck, the money train, the money trail. What's it called again?
Brinks.
Brinks trucks go beep, beep, beep as they back up to the door. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Five starters gone from the Eagles team that we saw last season. That includes most recently C.J. Gardner-Johnson, who ends up with the Lions. And again, I understand fresh start, new challenge, new money, but Gardner-Johnson, maybe a guy who wants to get back to his original position, right? He was asked to make a switch from cornerback to safety. He actually finished the regular season tied for the most picks in the NFL. And this is despite missing a handful of games with the lacerated kidney. Do you guys remember that? Ouch. The only Eagle since the 1970 merger to have interceptions in five consecutive games. So big piece of what the Eagles did last year. So five starters on defense, two starters on offense that have signed elsewhere in free agency. It's a challenge for any winning team. I think a big one for me was the defensive lineman, Javon Hargrave. That was a real big one. They do have guys that they've been able to sign to, but Hargrave was one of those that was just kind of out of their price range. They couldn't afford him. He was able to get a four-year deal with the 49ers worth over $20 million a year. But they feel like Jordan Davis, who was a first-round pick in 2022, can step into those shoes. Now, he had an injury last season, so maybe limited what he was able to do, how effective he was able to be. But given an offseason getting healthy, the Eagles are high on him. They lose Miles Sanders, who ends up with the Panthers. Man, the Panthers are making a lot of moves. But they bring in Rashad Penny. They re-sign Boston Scott. All right, so it's not going to look exactly the same. But that, and I think the secondary is a major challenge for them. But I like what they've done to this point. And I certainly believe that these athletes have or should take advantage of the great opportunity to capitalize on their individual success, right? It's a team sport, but they have a limited window in which to capitalize. It's After Hours, CBS Sports Radio.